You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, as you prepare your taxes, or you prepare for somebody else to do them for you, there are some big changes you need to know about, and we have an expert to help you. Plus, we may just have the thing to save you from buying that ridiculous gift on Valentine's Day and ruining your relationship. Let's meet the friends. In for Aaron Myers today, it's our producer, Brooke Peterson.
Hello there. An offhanded comment, a question by a scientist's daughter may lead to a cure for cancer.
And always up for a party, Chris Martin is here.
Doctors are urging that you do not try to fight the current measles outbreak with this old school remedy.
All right, we'll find out what that is in a moment, but let's get things started with you, Brooke, and thank you kindly for coming in today.
My pleasure.
So we're always interested to know, because it seems like almost all of us are marked to have some sort of cancer before we die.
That's what it feels like,
if something else doesn't kill us first, right? A truck or some other disease.
Indeed.
The C word's going to get us. But you say there might be some breakthrough.
Yeah, well, according to this article I found online today, there is a doctor who is talking to his girl, his daughter, about cancer and his role in the research for finding a cure for cancer. And she sort of offhandedly says something along the lines of, well, why can't we just use antibiotics like we use for other things, for other illnesses? And I guess a little proverbial light went off in his scientific brain, and he was like, oh, and went into, I guess, his lab and went to work. And as it turns out, how they explain it, and this is a quote, he says, I knew that antibiotics can affect mitochondria, and I've been doing a lot of work recently on how important they are to the growth of tumors. But this conversation made him consider how the antibiotics could attack the mitochondria of these cells, thereby eliminating these cancer cells. But the cool thing is that they seem to leave the healthy cells alone on top of it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a lot of research left to do, of course.
Right.
And there are concerns because there's, you know, how there's discussion about how humans are becoming resistant to certain antibacterial or antibiotics, and how this could be, you know, even worse because you'd probably be getting a much more powerful dose of these antibiotics.
Yeah, well, that's an exciting
breakthrough.
So you
never know. But yeah, it's definitely, and how amazing would it be to think that it's been right in front of us all this time?
They might want to do a double-blind study on mitochondriacs. All right, on to the next story. We have do not call lists, but now there's what?
A do not fly list. And what that means is, you know how these things called drones are becoming very, very popular, at least in discussion right now. It's a whole new technology that's
drones.
Kind of the drones.
Our tech guy has a real nice drone. He loves talking about it and loves flying it over construction sites that have just been hit by fire.
He's nosing around.
Yes, he is. He's got that super HD camera on it and has posted some video. It's spectacular. He loves his drone, but now wants an even nicer one.
Oh, we'll see. Oh,
they're cool machines. You know, I helped a guy get a drone out of a palm tree the other day by throwing a football at it for about 45 minutes. Apparently, it was his least expensive drone. He didn't really care. He goes, I just need to get it out of there. So I pulled out the old
It took you 45
NFL
minutes
ball.
To hit the darn thing.
How's the shoulder?
Buried in there.
You sore? You need some analgesic?
I had to switch to left-handed.
Did you?
All right.
Well, the idea here is that, you know, as drones become better, better cameras, they can
better navigation.
Better navigation and more in numbers, higher quantity, we're all going to have these drones up in our business all the time. And so there's this idea, and it's an organization called noflyzone.org. You can go there to this website, basically plug in your address and a couple of other identifying factors, of course. They check it out, and eventually what happens is they upload your location coordinates into the GPS system, the database out there, and the space above your home becomes a no-fly zone.
Wow.
To try to maintain some privacy.
Well, how are they going to control that? Let's say I go to the Toys R Us and pick up a drone.
Yeah.
And put on my Oculus Rift sunglasses.
Yeah.
And start flying this thing in 3D over your backyard where you're sunning by the pool. And I start taking video. I don't subscribe to the no-fly zone.
See, that is the catch. Yeah, that is the issue. Because basically how it works right now, or the idea is that the drone companies, the manufacturers, are playing nicey-nicey, and they will honor your request. If you have made such a request, they will honor it and not fly. But not everybody subscribes, and not everybody will make that promise.
Interesting to see how that works out. We're going to send that link to our web munchkins and have them put it on the links page. NoFlyZone.org is what it was,
correct,
right?
Correct, yep.
Can they make one of those for other planes, like you know, single prop planes? Because those fly over my house and way too low, and they're annoying also.
Yeah. Are they hovering with a camera pointed at you?
No. They fly by, but they do it regularly.
You have a laser pointer, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I have a laser pointer and a BB gun. So I don't think the BBs are reaching them.
Aim is like your football throwing, it might, might not be.
Do I need to be clear that that was a joke? We were only kidding. Don't use your laser pointer or your BB gun. All right, very good. Hey, Chris, more and more people are getting the measles, and parents are starting to resort to what?
Well, they're resorting to an old school form of preventing measles, and some of us may remember this from when we were kids. We would hold chickenpox parties, and now parents are wanting to hold measles parties, where you get all your kids together in a group and you have them contract the disease or spread the disease amongst each other.
What?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it,
that is crazy. Yeah. I've never heard of this chickenpox party. So, what is that?
It was pretty common, right?
You want to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
If you can get your kid to have the chickenpox by about 4 or 5 years old at the latest, you know, before they get into school and have to miss a week or a month or so of school, get it out of the way early, and then they're not going to get it again later.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think the thought as parents is too. Hey, our kids can all be hanging out together. It's a pretty miserable time to contract this disease. It's not fun. So at least if they're together, they can sort of enjoy going through it and building up this immunity.
Yeah, but imagine you get the chicken pox when you're a 13-year-old girl. You've got all kinds of 13-year-old girl psychoses and all the other things that come with being a 13-year-old girl. Can you imagine? You know?
But if there's other 13-year-old girls.
It's like 3 weeks. 3 weeks before, isn't it like an inoculation?
Four days.
Incubation?
There's like a 3 week, 21 days.
Right.
Before you're clear, right?
Well, the other thing is, too, if your immune system is compromised in some way, the measles could kill you.
Well, that's the thing. Measles is, has a lot worse side effects than chickenpox do. And health officials are strongly warning parents not to hold these measles parties. They say it unnecessarily puts children at grave risk and could add to further spread. It can cause pneumonia, brain swelling, death.
Good Lord.
Especially in young kids. 5 years and younger are more susceptible. But yeah, these parties were popular back in the 50s and 60s before there was an MMR vaccine program. Now doctors are saying the vaccine has significantly less health risks than trying to hold one of these parties.
Oh, so they used to do the measles parties back in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, before there was an actual vaccine, before you could just insert a vaccine into your body and build up an immunity.
Yeah, if you were born prior to 1957, chances are pretty good you did not get a measles shot or vaccination because they didn't have one.
Right.
When you were 6 or 7 years old. When they came in, and we did this on the last show when we had Dr. Kurtz on the program, he didn't get a measles shot. Mm-hmm. I did, because I was born after 1957.
Because you're a youngster.
Comparatively so. Hey, if you're getting one of those texts today, I have some advance warning for you. If your boyfriend or girlfriend calls or texts and says, "We need to talk," hang up the phone and start running. A new survey found that you are more likely to get dumped today than any other day of the year. 22% of people say they've dumped someone on February 10th. Exactly 4 days before Valentine's Day.
4 days? What is it, 4 days? Enough time to make other plans?
Well, yeah, that's right. The thing. It's mainly because they didn't want to spend Valentine's Day pretending things were okay. But if you do get dumped today, maybe it's a blessing. Another survey found that 4% of people say they'd hold off on dumping someone until right after Valentine's Day.
Collect.
Because they still want a gift and a nice dinner.
Right. Well, and you don't want to be alone.
And by the way, while we're talking about Valentine's Day downers, 1 in 12 married men will buy a Valentine's gift for a woman other than their wife this year.
1 in 12?
1 in 12.
Dang.
Well, that's still, I mean, as long as you're under the 10th percentile, we're okay.
Right. Yeah, that's under it.
Yeah, because once you get at 10% or above, you start worrying about mankind as a whole.
That's kind of borderline. We're kind of pushing that little edge there.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, later this hour, we're going to help you out with your gifting for Valentine's Day so that you absolutely don't screw up, and we're going to save you a ton of money. That's later in the hour, so we'll explain more what that means coming up. And we'll also explain, in light of the whole Brian Williams NBC News, as they call him now, embattled NBC News anchor, Brian Williams. That's his new title. You have to say embattled. In light of his situation, embattled or not, Brooke here has a story about how, generally speaking, in our lives, yours and mine and hers, your memory can really bite you in the butt. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris Martin is here, and our producer, Brooke Peterson, is here, who you will hear from in just a moment. I want to let you know that if you listen to this show, people like you listen to this show, and people who like your product or service, if in fact you are the owner of a company, more than likely listen to this show because they're like you, aren't they? You like them to... You like to believe that they're like you. Okay, fine. You should become a sponsor of this here program, and it's easy to do that. Just send us an email to partners@philhewlettandfriends.com, or you can go to the website, and there's a little link, advertise with us, and you can fill out the form, and a helpful person who is superior in the category of help will contact you and consult you on the best way to participate and be part of the team. Be one of the friends. Right?
Yeah, it's a good group of friends to be a part of.
Imagine Chris Martin saying, hi, Chris Martin here for insert the name of your brand.
That's right.
And I use it every day, and I use it accurately because I've been trained to use it properly.
Yes, sir.
Right. Okay.
He's a pro.
And now look what's happened to me. All right, so we'll on with the program here. And coming up, by the way, in our next segment, we're going to help you with taxes because there are a ton of changes to the tax code for 2014. Some of them pertaining to Obamacare and what you need to know when you go see your tax accountant or when you do this yourself. And is it safe to use the old TurboTax and electronically send your return from your house? Or is it secure enough anymore? Because they had a little breach there to worry about. Now, Brooke, the whole Brian Williams thing, you know who he is. He's the anchorman who, you know, like Pinocchio tells a lie and his nose gets longer, Brian Williams tells a lie and his face gets a little more crooked. Right? Does he have the most crooked face on television?
I'm so glad I'm not the only one who's ever thought that.
Well, no, he's a extremely intelligent guy.
Of course.
And a great anchorman and a reporter, and he's been right out there in the line of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking shots now for saying that he took shots at live enemy fire when, in fact, he did not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all know that story. But it brings to mind, I mean, in this day and age, you can have a whole firestorm of negativity coming from you because everybody has a voice, and you can get into this trouble in a hurry because our memory sometimes can play tricks on us.
Mm-hmm. Memories are tricky, tricky things to me. Don't you think? I mean, memories are so, like, they're just so slippery. And if you have a very active imagination, as many of us do, I know I do, your memories, they feel real. They feel true. They feel absolutely honest to goodness, hands down, no doubt about it, they happened. One of my favorite childhood memories that I have had my entire life, being that I'm grown up now, that I have recounted over the years as one of my most cherished memory that I had with my brother. I recently, like within the past year, maybe 18 months, found out probably didn't happen. And I was heartbroken.
Really?
Really, seriously heartbroken.
Wow.
Like, I was so sad to think that this memory that was so clear in my mind, really very clear, and I don't have very many vivid memories of my childhood anyway. It's like one of my very few clear memories.
What, are you blocking it out?
I think so.
Oh, no.
I think so.
You bury those.
I'm one of those. I have a dark past.
Real deep.
This sounds like a show. Look, our executive producer, Mike Stark, his eyebrows just went up, and he's thinking, hey, let's book her.
But I asked my brother, for whatever reason, recently, past year or so, I retold this story. Like, remember that time? And this happened, and that happened, and he was like, what? No. But my brother is notorious for having a terrible memory. So there was that. And I'm like, okay, fine. Maybe he just doesn't remember. He's the kind of guy who would do a million great things and just not think about it much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, I talked to my mom, talked to my dad, thinking surely one is going to, you know, corroborate this memory that I had. And neither one of them will say that they recall this happening. And I have my doubts, and I'm really, 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 really sad about it.
Yeah. You know what? I think maybe a lot of us can relate to that. I have several near-death experiences. We did a program on this about a year and a quarter ago on near-death experiences. And I retold one of the stories where I and a group of youngers, 15, 16, 17-year-olds in a car where you could sit four people in the front seat and the back seat comfortably, almost died when we went flying and the accelerator was stuck. We were in a parking lot and flew out one into the parking lot, which was elevated by 8 feet above the street, landed in the center of the street, a gas station across the street. And when we landed in the middle of the street, somehow the car stalled and just stopped where it landed. But anyway, when I retold the story with the names of the people that I can vividly see.
Right.
I was in the back seat, vividly, in my memory, seeing three other young people who I was friends with, and vividly seeing the name and face of the girl who was driving, who did not have her driver's license yet, and the young man whose car belonged to his mom, was sitting next to her and stomped his foot on the accelerator on top of her foot to say, go faster. I vividly see all of these people. I retold the story to one of the people that I thought was in the car. I wasn't in that car.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The mind is an interesting place, but you know what I say? Why let the truth get in the way of telling a good story?
Of course.
And if that story that you have makes you feel good, continue to retell.
But if you're in a place of authority, like a Brian Williams,
right,
that's
the challenge.
And if it was we're giving him the benefit of the doubt that it was a memory lapse.
I'd like to for the time being.
Okay, but it's also possible that he was just trying to re-engineer his history to make himself sound more grandiose than he is. It's possible that's the case as well. You cannot do that in a place of authority anymore because every single person on the planet has a voice in social media, and they will say so.
It's
and there
documented.
Are others who see you at the top of the hill and would like to knock you off that hill at the first chance they get.
Booyah.
Yeah. I think especially as a news person, you know, even though news people may not always be telling the truth, we look to them as a society to be the truth tellers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, who can we trust? Who can we get the facts from?
And he works for NBC where they blew up those trucks, remember, where they made it look like a truck was more likely to catch fire when it, in fact, they set up the truck to burn for their little
when was that?
Investigative reporting. That was, I think that was in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there was
Like Nightcrawler.
Then there was the other thing with Dan Rather and when he was in charge over there at CBS on the nightly
and
news.
And Connie Chung, remember her? She was a big deal at the time.
Oh, what? Yeah. She lied about something?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't have the details. But yeah, she had some sort of credibility issue that she got booted.
Maury Povich? Was that what the credibility problem was? Okay. Off to something else. Now, Chris, you have some new statistics on who's driving on the highway and under what influence.
Yeah, this is interesting. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration just released a report that says for the first time ever, stoned drivers are outnumbering drunk drivers on the road. So here's how it works. The number of drivers with alcohol in their system has dropped by a third since 2007, where the number of drivers testing positive with drugs that interfere with your ability to drive have increased to 1 in 4 people on the road.
One in four.
Now, I say stoned, and maybe some people relate that to just marijuana use, but in this study, it also takes into consideration, you know, barbiturates and muscle relaxers and sort of anything that you could take that's not alcohol related but will impair your
system. So the crackheads and the tweakers and everybody, they're all out there
and
driving.
The pill poppers.
Yeah, they're in the category as well.
Painkillers as well.
Painkillers,
so those people, yeah.
That was one of the major ones. And sort of, I guess, what marijuana is considered. But the agency is looking to expand their studies into states where marijuana has been legalized to see what kind of numbers those are producing.
Yeah. All right. Typically when Erin is here, Brooke, she'll do a story about dogs. You're off the hook. I'll throw one in here for you. And this is from the website Club Labrador. And they're not talking about an island in the UK in this case. They're talking about dogs, Labrador retrievers, labs, as we like to call them, right? They have so much control over their jaw muscles, they can carry an egg in their mouth without breaking it.
That is awesome.
Isn't that great for a big dog that just wants to jump around?
Yeah, gentle and delicate.
Yeah. And speaking of eggs, did you know that 2% of all the eggs produced in the United States, 2%, are used by Waffle Houses?
I love Waffle House. They should be our sponsor.
Waffle Houses, all of them?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Brought to you by the Waffle Houses Association.
I'll get a tattoo of their emblem on me.
Hey, have you started organizing your receipts and your W-2s for your tax guy? A whole lot has changed from one tax year to the next. Of course, we're talking about the 2014 tax year, and you need to know about those changes and where you can save some money and get some back. We'll review all of that with our expert next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Oh, gosh, you gotta hate tax time, don't you? You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're not the ones charging you taxes. No, we're tax-free. You can listen tax-free all you like. But this is the time when you start collecting all your receipts and whatever else you want to show to your accountant. We don't blame our tax accountant for any of this either because he's our friend. In this instance, he's looking out for us. And joining us live is certified financial planner and the president of Goodstein Wealth Management in Encino, California, tax expert Alan Goodstein. Alan, always great to hear from you.
All right, good to be here.
Hey, we have your website, GoodsteinWealthManagement.com, linked at our website on the links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com in case anybody would like to learn more about your offerings there. And Alan, we should have received all of our tax forms from employers, investments firms, et cetera, by now, right?
Yes, but no. A lot of people are going to find delays from their mutual fund companies and their brokerage houses. They just don't have all the information. They will be taking basically an automatic extension for about 2 weeks to a month.
Oh.
I'm finding that happening a lot. So don't be in a rush to file your taxes next week when you're allowed to.
My appointment's on Friday.
Well, make sure you have everything. If you don't have anything,
yeah,
you know, have the accountant or the enrolled agent wait to get everything.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go back and have to redo your tax return.
No, not unless you're required to later because you omitted something else. But that's another story. I want to talk about changes for the 2014 tax year. And is the biggest one revolving around Obamacare? What do we need to know about that?
Okay, on Obamacare, well, the Affordable Care Act, as we can call it also.
Sure.
If you don't have insurance last year, you're fined $95 or 1% of income.
And is that right there on the tax form for us to see, and is it easy to discern how to do that?
Well, they'll just have to check it off and tell who your insurance company is. It's that simple.
Oh, it's simple. When does that happen?
Well, it's if you know where it is on the tax form, it's simple.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, if you don't do it this year, it's going to $325 or 2% of your income.
Right.
So whichever's higher. So it's still not cheaper to have insurance, but in the long run, it's cheaper to have insurance. And I recommend everybody go out and look at it and get it, because even if you can't afford it, I have a stepson who basically gets it free from the government because he makes very little money.
Right.
Everybody should go out and look for it. If they put a little time into it, mm-hmm. they'll find they can end up with the best doctors you can get in the world, and it's worth every penny.
And what if you're married, filing as a married couple, and you've got a couple of dependents at home, and you get insurance through your employer? Is there a different perspective there as it applies to your dependents? Let's say two different scenarios. Your dependents are or they are not filing their own tax returns.
Well, if they're on your return,
yeah,
then you should be able to add them on to your insurance up to age 26. After age 26, they have to go on their own, and if they can't afford it, then they should go on the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare.
Yeah, but then there are rules about dependents too. Claiming your child, I mean specifically a child who lives at home, goes to school, they're under 26, but they have a job. There's, and I'm not sure everybody knows the rule. There's only a certain amount of money your child can make before you can't claim them as a dependent anymore. Isn't that true?
Well, if they're not dependent on you, they're not dependent on you anymore.
Well, I heard the number was real low, like $3,600, $3,900, something like that. But
No. The children can make $10,000, $20,000 and still be dependent on you. They still have to file a tax return.
Right. But now, can you claim them as a dependent?
Yes, but they still have to pay. Let's say they grandmother gave them Disney stock, and they get a bunch of dividends.
Yeah,
they still have to claim that. Now they may be in the kiddie tax rate over a certain amount. I think it's $10,000. I'd have to go look.
Yeah,
but after that, it'll be at the parent's tax rate.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's say they work 16, 20 hours a week at the burger joint, and they do that for the better part of the year. They're going to make, you know, a reasonable amount of money. Maybe
they're still dependents on the parents, though.
Yeah,
they still have to file an income tax return.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Interesting. We want to make sure we get all of our money back that's due us, of course. And there are some basic deductions that people often miss. What do you recommend we look out for?
Well, first of all, if you're self-employed, a lot of self-employed people. And a lot of us are self-employed these days, that you need to, every little thing, parking receipts, every time you go to dinner at a restaurant, you need to keep every receipt. Don't think you'll not need it later, because you'll need it every write-off you can. And your accountant should be able to tell you what you can take. Also, if you have an office at home, if that's your only office, don't be afraid to take it as a write-off.
Yeah.
A lot of people are afraid the government's going to audit you.
Do you have to know the square footage and all of that, and what percentage of the room you're using?
A good accountant will say, okay, how big's the room? He'll figure it out. He'll figure out, for the size of the house, what part you can deduct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not that hard. It's very simple. You can take a, you know, walk it off mm-hmm. in 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. All right. How much of the cost of your child's college education is deductible?
Okay.
Are these personal questions, Phil?
No, I think these are the types of things that people come across. And let me sharp angle this a little bit. Mom and dad pay the tuition.
Yeah, I do that with my daughter. She's at UCLA.
Right, okay, good. It's not cheap, but there's a tuition tax form that the universities send out, and I believe it's the 1098-T. And they send it to your child because that's the Social Security they have on file. Can mom and dad use that 1098-T on their return?
Not if they're filing their own return.
Not if the child is filing their own return.
Correct. And after you hit a limit, you can't deduct it anyway.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to deduct the college. Now, the student can, if they have a loan, you're paying off a loan over time.
Yeah.
Once they graduate, they can deduct up to $2,000 subject to phasing out limitations once they make over $200,000.
Well, I hear a lot of people crying in the audience right now. They're saying, okay, fine, my kid's going to a fancy private school, $40,000 or something like that a year, and this 1098-T just came in, and it showed that $40,000, something like that, and then it showed the grants and other considerations that were given to offset that enormous amount of money. But just the same, any differential was paid by the parents, and you're saying the parents cannot lay claim to any of that as
an expense. No, basically they're giving it as a gift.
Wow.
To the kid.
All right. So
they're deciding to.
So that 1098-T stays on the simple tax return for the child.
Correct.
All right. Good to know. And so let's see. We another thing. There's that whole TurboTax breach that we heard about in the news in recent days. And it makes people nervous. And not only do people do this from their own home when they're doing their own taxes, but a lot of times you'll pay a guy to do your taxes and he or she is using TurboTax or something like that. And then they e-file that right there. Is e-filing safe this year? Is it secure?
Well, I guarantee TurboTax is going to be very secure when they're done.
Yeah, right.
Because they're gonna look into every little nook and cranny.
Uh-huh.
Now, the people your CPA uses or your enrolled agent, that's not TurboTax. That's a much heavier duty return, and those are very encrypted.
Okay,
so you
good.
Shouldn't have any problem. I wouldn't be scared to do it. I file electronically.
And you get your money, your refund in a hurry, don't you?
Oh, this last time it came back in a couple weeks. So you're much better off. Plus, the government can reconcile your tax return much quicker, and you get less chance, I would say, of someone going through your tax return unless through the discrimination testing something's out of whack. And discrimination testing means if you make $100,000 and you're showing $80,000 of restaurants, it's going to look out of whack.
Yeah.
Your percentages should be in line.
I like to eat. I like to eat out. Hey, is it too late, Alan Goodstein, to shelter 2014 income?
No, especially if you can still do an IRA.
Really?
Till filing date for 2014.
How about that? Did not know that.
Up to your extension date.
Oh, so all the way into
September, October, you can still do it till then.
No kidding.
But you do not want to open it, and you don't want to put the money in after you file. It has to be done before you file.
Gotcha. All right. And so
also, if you're a small business person, you could open up a simplified employee pension, a SEP IRA, and have that done too.
Wow.
And you could put away approximately up to $50,000 in that. If you had a $200,000 year, you could put away a lot of money and cut your taxes.
I think a lot of people were thinking that, okay, I'm done. There's nothing else I can do. So looking ahead to filing the 2015 season, what's the number one bit of advice you give people when it comes to sheltering income? Is it the IRA and the SEP IRA?
If they're not phased out, if they are phased out and they're self-employed, open up a SEP plan or individual 401k and start funding it now before you spend the money.
Yeah,
put that 10% away for yourself and cut your taxes and think about your retirement out 10 and 15 years, not just this year.
Yep.
So you put away, if you were to put away the first 10% you make, do that anyway.
Yeah.
And put it into a good retirement account.
All right.
And also, if you invest in not a retirement account, such as an ordinary individual or a trust account, that money will come out as capital gain. And if you never sell something like a stock, you don't pay that. You might not pay tax on it for 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Wow. So
that's a great way of sheltering and helping build a portfolio.
Alan Goodstein, you've been very helpful as usual. GoodsteinWealthManagement.com is the website. Again, we have a link on our links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Thanks so much, and enjoy the tax season. I know you're a happy boy this time of year.
That's my pleasure.
All right, Alan Goodstein, thank you very much. Hey, Valentine's Day is coming up this weekend, and if you're struggling to come up with a perfect gift, we have an idea that could hit a home run for you and cost you as little as 49 cents. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. All romance is in the air. And it has nothing to do with the fact that you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Just want to clarify, I'm Phil. Brooke and Chris are here today. Brooke's our producer, but she does a fine job on the air when she's here. We're glad she is. And with Valentine's Day just days away, we want to help you spark some romance and perhaps save you some grief over that last-minute gift you plan to pick up at the gas station market that you know in the back of your mind she's not going to like. We're going to talk about the lost art of writing love letters. Cherry Turlington is the author of the book Send Me Some Love in the Mailbox. It's available now in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, featured prominently in the number one spot there on the page. And Cherry Turlington joins us live now. Cherry, writing a love letter, really? I mean, most guys will tell you they have zero poetic ability. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it?
Well, I believe that every man truly does have a romantic spirit, and you try to show women that you love them by protecting them, laying down your life for them, working hard, trying to solve our problems. But that's why I came up with my Be Your Hero program, to coach men to actually write the words that evoke the feeling that a woman wants to feel.
Be Her Hero, is that what it is?
Yes, it's Be Her Hero. It's at hearttoheartletters.com.
Okay.
It's a subscription program that sends inspirational ideas for you to be able to write heirloom love letters to your lady, 12 in a year, plus romantic ideas for every week of the year. Because I know that men really want to please their lady.
Yeah.
You want to make her happy, but you don't necessarily speak that feeling language that she wants to hear.
Happy wife, happy life. But the heirloom letter, you mean the kind that she's going to keep in a heart-shaped box until she gives that heart-shaped box to her great-granddaughter?
Exactly. Heirloom letters. And I talk on the street with women about this all the time, and I just want men to know how very powerful and poignant this is for women. Because a lot of times I will talk to a woman about my program, and she'll actually, I cannot tell you the amount of times that she'll have tears in her eyes when I bring it up, and she'll look at me and she'll say, I would give anything for my husband to write me a love letter or my boyfriend.
What is it about women that love letters touch their hearts?
It's because it's those women are feeling creatures, and they want to feel the emotions that made her pick you out of the whole pack of men above every other man. Again, you knew how you figured out how to romance her, and you figured out how to court her and win her out of all the other men. She loves you just for who you are.
Oh, boy.
But she's a feeling creature, and she wants to feel those emotions again and again and again.
Well, it sounds so great coming off of your lips. You know that. Okay, fine. I sit down and pen to paper. Wait a minute. Do we have to handwrite this? Or can I text it or send an email?
No, it's best. It really does have the most significance if you can handwrite it. You really, because it's so rare and so special. And here's.
But we want her to be able to read it.
Okay. Well, here's what I advise. If your handwriting is illegible,
yeah,
I have another trick for you. But you need to write the first copy by hand because you use both sides of your brain and you're going to think of things you wouldn't think of ordinarily. So write the rough copy on paper using both sides of your brain through your nervous system because you're going to come up with stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily come up with. Or I have coaching as well on my website, hearttoheartletters.com, so I can coach you on what to write. And then you would go to your office supply store and buy the heavy quality, beautiful, you know, cream paper, type it out, but leave the blank for the part where you want to handwrite in your sweetheart's name and handwrite your name, then print it out. Then you want to take your favorite cologne, spray it in the air, wave the letter through the mist.
Not directly on it.
Not directly on it because you're going to leave spots or whatever, but wave it through the mist. That way it's scented, which makes it more romantic, and a letter will hold that a long time in an envelope.
Well, see, here's the thing, the difference between men and women. I mean, you said spots, and I'm thinking, well, there, that's romantic.
Well, then I'll tell the women to spray their perfume right on it.
Well, okay, so I don't know. Kickstart us a little bit. I mean, where do you start? I mean, what vein do you tap into at least to be? What's the first sentence? Just get us rolling a little bit. You know,
okay.
Give us a prompt at least.
Well, the thing I tell people is you want to sit down and savor like a nice piece of, a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and put on the music that you were listening to when you were dating this person. Because music takes you back into that.
Assuming place. We remember.
And then you want to think about what was the thing that you remember most about her.
Yeah.
You know, her sparkly eyes, her laugh, mm-hmm. and you want to use good adjectives because it's very flattering to a woman to be to have that remembered in great detail.
Oh.
You know, remember your sparkly eyes that shone like. You know, sapphires or the color of her hair, what she was wearing that day, and what and how she made you feel. And, you know, like, wow, you know, could this, the first time I saw you, my heart leapt and I wondered, could this girl be mine?
Oh, you know? See, I can do that because I was going to go in a completely different direction. I was going to say, honey, you remember the day I proposed to you? It went kind of like this. We're getting married, right? And you said, I guess.
Now, would you like me to read you some things from some really, really top, strong men who were really good at this?
Just something. We have about a minute, but if you can give me a couple of ideas, yes.
Okay, well, we got Ronald Reagan here saying, whatever I treasure and enjoy, all would be without meaning if I didn't have you. Here's Napoleon to Josephine. I have not spent a day without loving you. I have not spent a night without embracing you. I have not so much as drunk a single cup of tea without cursing the pride and ambition which forced me to remain separated from the moving spirit of my life. In the midst of my duties, whether I'm at the head of my army or inspecting the camps, my beloved Josephine stands alone in my heart, occupies my mind, and fills my thoughts.
Wow, I could have defeated Napoleon. He's a softie.
He divorced her.
Those kind of words really move a woman. Now, I understand that this is hard for men. That's why I have coaching for this and the Be Your Hero program to help you with ideas.
HeartToHeartLetters.com. We have a link on our links page now. The web munchkins are all over it. And should I have a backup plan? Should I bring some chocolates and flowers just in case?
Well, I have ideas all year long for little things to do, but, you know, it's the small things every year that really move a woman. I mean, if you walk past your sweetheart and you just caress her cheek and say, I am one lucky man, little things like that really touch a woman.
Amen, sister.
Wow, look at that.
You show up one day for no reason at all and you hand her a rose and you're very gallant about it and you put it on, give it to her at dinner or put it on her pillow and say, you are as exquisite as this rose.
I'm going to listen back to this over and over again. Sherry Turlington, thank you very much. The book is called Send Me Some Love in the Mailbox. Again, it's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And on the links page, you could see the link to hearttoheartletters.com. Get a clue, guys. Come on. What's the matter with you? Hey, that's it for Hour 1. There's more to come, including spring break hotspots that you are way too old to visit during spring break. But still, you're curious, right? Plus, the craziest things people steal from hotels. And we have a Bobby Christina Brown update. Will her father remove her from life support? Those stories and more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is Hour 2 of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, we'll scope out the hot spring break spots before your kids head out to get sloppy drunk and thrown in jail. Plus, the five things you really should wash more often. Among other stories, the friends are here. Brooke Peterson is here. She's our producer, and she's in for Aaron, who has some business to take care of today. We might hear about that on the next program. And Chris Martin is here. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Always happy to do the show for you. We'll get things started this hour with you, Brooke, and with a little update on a story we brought you on our last program.
Yeah, this refers back to Bryn Mawr College. I believe Chris shared a story on Thursday regarding Bryn Mawr.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to remind people of what that was?
Well, yeah, bring us back to the date, Chris.
It's an all-girls college, and what they were doing is when they saw that a student's body mass index was elevating from one checkup to the next, they would send a letter to the parents basically saying, hey, your daughter can join our fitness program for free. We've noticed some escalations in her body mass index. She's getting bigger, essentially.
And critics jumped on that and said, hey, that's fat shaming.
Right. Yeah, you can't do that to girls. That's terrible.
Well, how in the heck are they going to get into the best sororities if their BMI keeps going up?
Well, how are you going to make it through college if you can't put on that freshman 15? Isn't that a part of it?
Oh, right.
It teaches humility.
Exactly.
Right? Valuable life lesson.
So there's the Bryn Mawr story.
Yeah, so Bryn Mawr is back in the news. They are, and I wonder if this is a very progressive, they might be the first to do this. They are a women's college. They identify as a women's college.
Yes.
And so they have come out to say that they will now be accepting transgender men into women. So you might have been born as a man, but you identify as a woman. And they're like, okay, you identify as a woman. This is a women's college. We will accept you. And vice versa, if you were born a woman, but you claim and you say and have even maybe taken steps to indicate that you identify as a man, you are not eligible to apply and attend Bryn Mawr.
So that makes pragmatic sense that if you're going to become a woman, if you're a man becoming a woman, uh-huh, and you're going to go to a women's school, mm-hmm, then I guess that makes pragmatic sense.
But they also are saying that if you show up freshman year as a woman, identifying as a woman, and in that time that you're there, you're like, I think I want to be a man now. Or however that goes.
Then out,
people.
Out the
no,
door?
No, they say they can stay. But when
enter... they're grandfathered or mothered in.
Exactly.
Or whichever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I've never heard of a college taking these kinds of public sort of stances on their policy.
I'll tell you what this is. It's not the policy. It's the timing of the policy. It's all a big head fake to get people to stop talking about the stories that Chris brought us the other day.
Right.
Don't you think that's what it is?
The
PR company said, hey, you know that thing you were bouncing around, 10 years ago? Time to bring it back up again as a brand new idea.
Mm. Yeah. And let's give Bruce Jenner a full ride.
What? You had to bring Bruce Jenner into this? Poor guy.
Laughing.
He's about to go to jail.
He's having a rough week.
Well, I don't know if he's going to go to jail, but now they're saying that maybe he was following too close on that little thing where everybody knows that he had that rear ender on the PCH in Malibu and somebody died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a sad thing, as if he wasn't going through enough already with his identity. Let's call it a crisis, because mm-hmm, he's been dealing with it probably his whole life.
Yeah, he's in his 60s at least, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to understand it. All I can say is that I put my empathetic hat on and try to put myself in his shoes for a moment and understand what he was trying to go through. I can't even fathom it. So
I can't either.
Agreed. I did read an article that said that his reality show will go on. Right. Currently, that's what it's scheduled to be.
No kidding.
Yeah.
About his transformation?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, something else that's transforming is our understanding of the way we're going to fuel our lives, our automobiles, our homes, and all of that. And there's a little bit of new science I wasn't aware of, Brooke.
This is pretty cool. And bear with me. I'm not a scientist, so let me see if I can...
Well, that's okay. Me and Chris are.
But okay,
we got your back.
Okay. All right. So apparently there is this bionic leaf, which is using bacteria to convert sunlight into fuel. So Harvard researchers have developed a method to turn sunlight and air into what is called isopropanol. And isopropanol is often used as solvents or in a solvent and in pharmaceuticals, but it's also used as a liquid fuel for transportation. And so This has been about a year and a half process of its first sort of inklings of using a catalyst. They call it a catalyst. It looks like a leaf, but it's not a natural leaf, but it looks like a leaf, and they put this sort of this catalyst on the leaf, and it gets mixed with some bacteria. And now, after a year and a half of toying with this, they have determined that they are now at about a 1% efficiency rate to photosynthesis, which is the same as nature.
No kidding. They
are basically on course with nature at this point, and now they just have to find a way of really, you know, maximizing and, of course, confirming. And all.
Right. So anyway, they could power a car to drive 1 to 3 miles per hour, something like that,
yes.
With a leaf.
Something like that. A bionic leaf.
You cover the car with these bionic leaves. It looks a little like the vehicle they drove in Dumb and Dumber, you know, with the dog ears and all
right.
that. Yeah.
Gosh. Only you can't call it the Leaf because I think that name's already taken.
By Nissan.
Right.
Exactly.
All right.
But is it bionic Leaf?
Yeah, right. Ooh. Leaf. The bionic version.
Bionic.
Okay. Up next, how about right now? We don't even have to take a break. We'll just keep doing it now. Chris, tell us about this little town in Pennsylvania. A town of how many?
I'd be glad to. It's a town of 3,000 people, Phil, and it's a small township in Pennsylvania, and all of the citizens there are letting you know that they are armed to the teeth.
Yeah?
Yeah, they've placed warning signs on every major street in town, which states, "Welcome to Kanoi. This is not a gun-free zone."
And how's that going for them?
It's working out all right. I mean, just like anything else, there's the people that approve of it and the people that disapprove of it. So let's hear what they have to say. One town official said, "I think even those who have bad intentions can read." So we know what their purpose of the signs is. It's basically telling anybody that wants to come in and start robbing people or engage in mischievous behaviors, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
He even says people should feel safer knowing everyone in town is watching out for them. So he takes it from that standpoint. Critics say the intent might be to scare criminals, but the likely effect will be to embolden a shoot-first mentality leading to wild, wild west type scenes.
Just waiting for that first incident to happen to where that can be tested out, right?
In one direction or the other. Imagine if the first incident is a criminal tries to break into somebody's house. They're able to protect their property and their family
right.
because of what they've done there in that township
yeah.
with guns.
But if everybody in the township is armed to the T, and can you imagine some of the arguments parents have with their teenagers?
Yeah.
Could that end poorly?
Well, that's one of the other things, too. In a town, that's one of the other questions is, hey, what about schools, churches, public businesses, post offices, things like that? Do you literally have guns everywhere?
How about bars at the saloon?
Well, sure, you have to in a
township. Do they have saloons or do they have pubs? What do they have? And did they have a sign at the door that says "Stow your irons"?
Yeah, right next to the spot where you tie off your horse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Seriously.
Wow,
what is going on?
That is something. Well, we'll continue to watch. What did you say that was called? Kanoi?
Kanoi,
Pennsylvania.
Kanoi Township.
How far is that from a big city?
Oh, I'm going to say about, several leaps and bounds.
Yeah, okay. And you didn't know.
Maybe throw a rock 150 times, I might hit one.
Yeah. All right, so maybe we could drive there. Maybe we could drive there real, real fast. But guys like to help ladies out when they're not too great with the stick shift in the car. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yes. That's one of a man's classic lines.
Yeah.
You know, I can teach you how to drive stick. And in this case, we see it in video because with Valentine's Day just around the corner, girls and guys are working hard to find a date, and Ford ran an interesting ad campaign. It's called Ford Mustang Speed Dating, and here's how it goes. It starts with this beautiful blonde meeting up with one guy at a time, but a group of guys in a jazz bar under the guise of speed dating. Hey, we're going to go on a quick date.
Yeah.
She quickly says, "Let's get out of here." Does not love to hear that?
Come on. Yeah.
Come on, let's get out of here. And she brings guys into her 435 horsepower, hot red, 2015 Ford Mustang Fastback.
Whoa.
Where when she gets in, she fires this bad boy up and pretends to have trouble with the stick. You know, like, oh, I just got the car. It's not working right.
Okay.
I haven't driven a stick for very long.
Yeah.
All the guys, of course, offer to help teach her how to drive stick. And it turns out that this bombshell blonde, which you'll see in the video, is a certified stunt car driver. So she ends up taking the guys down this sort of long road where they're sort of explaining to her, hey, here's how the easiest way to shift, feather the clutch, all the words guys use.
Yeah.
She takes them into an open parking lot and just rips the tires off this Mustang with the guys in the passenger seat. Everything's rigged with cameras, you know, so you can see every angle
awesome.
Of their expression.
Awesome. And the video is where? It's
one guy cries. For real.
Oh, the videos on videos on our website already. It's on the show fun page. You can watch it.
Oh, check it out for sure.
I'm going to check that out.
Must see list
for sure. All right. And up next here on the program, I know you've done this. You've stolen something from a hotel, right? Like a bar of soap?
Maybe.
Right? Maybe some shampoo?
Maybe.
Maybe a towel?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe all the tea bags and the coffee, right?
I have a closet full of Bibles.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow. Way to go, Gideon. All right. We have the 10. That's nothing. We have the 10 craziest things people have stolen from hotels. And I doubt anything you've stolen from a hotel is on this list. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends, and so are you. Thank you very much for tuning in. The 10 craziest things people have stolen from hotels. Everyone takes a little shampoo from a hotel. Some people take towels, robes. Chris over here takes the Gideon Bibles. As a collection. Do you take that to the swap meet later? Is that what you do?
No, I just hang on to them. I mean, they leave it right there in the top shelf. I thought they wanted us to take them.
And then there are the people who are, as the kids say, on a whole nother level. Hotel owners anonymously shared some of the craziest things people have stolen from their hotels. And most of this stuff here seems like it was on display in the lobby and someone walked out with it. So here are the top 10, starting with number 10, and we'll work our way up. And number 10 is the funniest one. The hotel owner's dog.
What?
They stole the dog.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And that,
wow.
That's a crime.
That's a whole nother level.
That's a whole nother level
that's
right there.
That's a whole nother level.
Up next, and I can't say I blame them, a medieval sword was taken.
I don't blame them for that either.
You know what? I could think of just the spot in our house where a medieval sword would look great. Honey, you listening? You know the spot I'm talking about?
All right. Right above the fireplace.
We just have an earthquake. Did you feel the room move? Yeah, it must have been me. That was my wife kicking me about the medieval sword. One of the two. This is something. How do you pull this off? A marble fireplace.
Seriously?
They just took the whole thing off the... Because that's not secured by anything more than maybe some wood glue or something like that, right? The liquid nails, is that what they stick it on the wall?
I would imagine it's got to be masoned into the wall somehow with concrete and
rebar. Because of code and all of that? Yeah, but if you pull hard enough, doesn't it just pull the drywall off and you can walk away with it?
Yeah, I suppose if you tied it to the bed of your truck and pulled hard enough,
yeah,
I'm sure it'd pop right out of there.
Oh, but it's
who does that?
But it's marble, too, and that stuff is real easy to ding and to crack and all that. So
yeah.
If they stole it, they probably destroyed it if they didn't... transport
and more than one person has tried to do this.
Well, no, these are just the craziest things.
The craziest
that have been stolen.
Things. Okay.
So we can only assume it's only happened once. Up next, an entire mini bar fridge and the couch from the same suite.
Oh, sure.
I get that.
Yeah, who hasn't done that?
Yeah. You know, because you don't want to open it at the hotel because the moment you open it, they start looking to charge you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just for have you ever been charged just for looking inside the mini bar?
No.
If you misplace anything, if you look inside there, maybe you try to make a little room for a soda or something you want to stash in there, the minute you start moving it around, check your tab.
Then they could say something, you know, the bottle of water's missing or something like that, $12. Stuffed boar's head was stolen. A room's worth of plumbing, including shower heads, taps, the toilet, and the sink.
Mm.
Well, Chris, your job outside of here is the construction business. That's valuable stuff, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's an easy take too. Most of that stuff is just a couple of bolts or just unscrew it. And you're on your way. Hopefully,
now,
it's
the toilet?
Mowing.
Yeah,
it's a mowing.
Now,
process.
On the other hand, number four on the list, working all the way to number one, is a grand piano. Talk about something of value. Three people wheeled it out the door and down the street.
This is like a cat burglar who's staying in the
hotel.
Well,
that's what you get for leaving the wheels on your grand piano.
True.
You know? Aren't you supposed to remove those things once you find a place for
Because it takes more than three guys to carry a piano if they don't have their proper piano transport
like
stuff.
Out the
with
window
them.
Or something?
No, they're just out the door and wheeled it down the street.
Thank God.
I'm surprised no reports of the air conditioning unit. You think that'd be a top
now, snagger. Now, number three is possibly the guy who took the medieval sword and came back for more because a suit of armor was taken from one hotel.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Honey?
That is pretty cool.
Can you see the spot in the house where that could go?
Yeah, right.
Suit of armor. Perfect. Number two, a 12-foot model of the Concorde airplane, the jet. A 12-foot model of a Concorde.
How do they get away with this is what I want to know.
Well, 12 feet, too. I mean, you put that under your arm and just walk out, or how does that work?
I think he flew it out of there.
A piano?
Right. Jumped in
a
it.
And
fire
fast.
Right.
Yeah, real fast. And here's the number one thing stolen, and I'm sure the authorities are still looking for this. A $300,000 Andy Warhol painting.
Oh, wow.
Stolen from a hotel.
That was in the hotel?
Yeah.
Unsecured. Jeez.
Well,
that must be
who
in
knows?
Vegas.
I mean, the art thieves, you know, they know how to get those things off the wall. Because a lot of times, I mean, like you see in the movies, they've got all those, like, laser things pointed around. And if you get in through the laser,
That's right. All the
alarms go off. And
I saw that movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones. I know
that's
what you're
right.
talking about.
Yeah, she was able in that cat suit to just kind of slink her way through the lasers.
Yeah, very flexible.
Now that I wonder if they had that. Well, maybe not. All right, let's see. We have some time. And Brooke, you have such a wonderful list of stories today.
Hmm.
We had the bionic leaf.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this is something that we should pay attention to for our own health and for our own safety. You have a list of the things that we should really, really think about cleaning more often.
Yeah. Well, I have my own little list here. So five things you should clean more often. One, your phone. Now, you guys say that you touch your phone 150 times a day.
We do?
That's what you said.
Well, you
asked
us?
You during break.
During
I
the break.
I
okay.
did. And so in this story says that we all touch our phones 150 times a day.
I'm holding mine now.
And so you should clean it every single day. Every day.
That sounds like too much work.
I know. Right, but it gets worse. Okay. So your sheets. Everybody washes their sheets, of course, like, you know, once a week, hopefully, maybe once every 2 weeks. You're supposed to do it every once a week. But did you know?
What?
I might be showing my
anyway. I didn't know you were supposed to wash your sheets.
What do you use? Do you use the crisp thing when the sheets get a little crispy? That's when you put them in the
wash.
No, I just fold them back and I open the window. I let the air blow over them.
Oh. Let it air out a little bit, right?
Single
open
ladies,
the door.
Single guy.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll hit it with a little Lysol.
Yeah.
All the bugs go running.
That's right.
But you are also supposed to wash your pillows. Not just your pillowcases, your pillows. I had no idea you even could wash
your pillows. Some pillows you got to be careful if there's the kind that you stick your head on there and it makes an indent and you take your head off in the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, what are those,
sleep foam or something.
There, yeah. I don't think you can throw those in the wash because they lose their ability to do that contour deal.
Other pillows, however, I think you're supposed to... It says every 3 weeks
how
to
about,
wash your
How about the goose down? Pillows. Can you wash those?
I just can't see how that could be
those
washable.
Are dangerous. You could catch a goose down feather right in the eye if you're not careful.
That's right.
You need some good fabric
surrounding put your eye out if you're not careful.
And they're sharp, too.
What else do you need to wash more often?
Ladies, your brassieres. You're supposed to wash your brassieres every time after you've worn it two or three times.
Hey, Grandma, who calls them brassieres anymore?
Oh, bra.
Over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Brassieres.
Like right out of sixth grade.
Lingerie. How about lingerie?
Yeah. Is that on the list, too?
No. Just
but the
bras.
Bra, because it gets sweaty.
It gets sweaty. It does. You know, fact of life, it does get sweaty. So it says after wearing it two or three times, you know, we glisten, we ladies. We glisten. We don't sweat.
Of course not.
Kitchen towels. This says to wash your kitchen towels every single time after you use it.
Yeah.
Which, what? Who does that?
You know what my wife does?
What?
With the, well, the kitchen towels is one thing, but you know the sponges that you use to clean off your dishes and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, microwave?
She'll stick them in the microwave. Yeah. Exactly. Do you do
See,
that?
See, I know that. I'm not a foul person, but I had no idea that I was supposed to wash my kitchen towels every single time I use it.
Wait a minute.
It says it could be the dirtiest thing in most people's kitchens.
Well... All right, fine. I'll stop wiping my face with it.
You do that. Yeah, I know. I always get in trouble for that, too. After I just stick my fork in the plate of whatever, you know, before it's even served on a dish.
And right before you open the fridge and chug right from the milk carton.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
All right. Was that five?
Last thing is a woman's purse. Woman should wipe down her purse inside and outside every week.
How in the world are you supposed to find the inside? Have you ever, Chris, have you ever looked inside a lady's purse?
Yes.
Excellent point.
And she said, get my car
caused
keys.
Caused my heart to palpitate.
Find my phone or get in there and get the checkbook.
Well it should.
I went in for a quick peek and I was stuck for 35 minutes. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It paralyzed me.
Are you kidding me? I mean, our purses are the,
it's our window to our souls.
Yeah, they're a good place to just stash a bunch of stuff, but it's the least efficient way of carrying and storing things. Because I've seen ladies just dig for like 5 minutes.
It's true.
Found it! But it'll take me a second to get it out. Well,
I think those recommendations are for serious neat freaks.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, I've lived a pretty long life and haven't washed my pillowcases. Or my pillows, I mean. I have washed my pillowcases.
All right.
I have done.
Next, we're going to talk about something dirty as well. We're getting pretty close to spring break for the school kids. And you might as well get up to speed on the hot spots. Information is power, right, Mom and Dad? Our travel guy joins us live next. He stalks the hot spots for spring break. No, he doesn't. But he knows where they are, and he knows all about them, and he's going to give us a leg up on what those kids are up to next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're getting antsy. We can't wait to get out of school and go on spring break. Where are all the kids going? They're going out of town, that's for sure. So pack the beer bongs and the bikinis. Mom and Dad, I know you're thrilled about this. Let's learn about some of the spring break hotspots with our travel guy, Gary Warner, who knows them well.
Hey, Phil.
Gary, nice to talk to you, my friend. There are some traditional hotspots, right? Where are they?
Yeah, well, Florida is really the birthplace of spring break. The movie Where the Boys Are, I don't know if you remember the old Connie Francis tune, but it was a movie that came out in 1960 about four Midwestern girls going down to Fort Lauderdale where they meet the Ivy Leaguers, including George Hamilton. You know, maybe that was when he was getting his tan the first time. But a lot of those places have still held on. Florida is probably still the most popular spring break spot, especially in the East Coast and the Midwest.
Well, they got a lot of space.
From
left to right or north to south from Miami.
Yeah.
It's just a long, long beach.
It's a long, long, and it's more reliably hot out there. I've gone to spring training in Florida. We talked about this last week, and spring training in Arizona. It's more reliably hot out in Florida, but it's just Bikini Beach all the way up and down, and you know, used to be Fort Lauderdale, not really so much anymore. Then Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach still has a pretty good scene. And then, but most people go to Panama City now, which is the big spot. Now, I'd heard in the lead up, Phil, you mentioned, you know, that I'm out there stalking spring break. Now, that's a little bit true because I found myself out in Isla Dora, which is in the middle of the Keys in Florida, and it happened to be spring break. And our hotel turned out to be this big spring break place called the Chica Lodge. And it was just wild.
Yep.
So
wow. Yep. Did it make you want to be about 30 years younger all of a sudden?
Yeah, except my friend who was with me was drinking too much and made a pass at a girl. The boyfriend was there. The boyfriend hit him.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always some drawbacks to these things. You
not
know?
A but, not a party till a guy 30 years your junior knocks the senses out of you.
But fast forward to today.
Right.
It's a little bit more diverse. So I'd say the top spot really for spring break, and we're talking, I get mail or calls from people all the time about, you know, do-gooder spring breaks. That stuff is out there, Habitat for Humanity and all that stuff. But let's just talk about the parties. That's what basically we're talking about.
Sure. Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing, too. I would much rather drive or fly out to a domestic location to bail out my kid. And I'd rather not have to get the State Department involved.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say, Phil, that Cancun is probably the number one spot that everybody would like to go to. If you have the money, you go down to Cancun. It's a wild party. Cancun is considered safe in a country, Mexico, that has a State Department travel warning because of rampant crime. But there is petty crime in Cancun. And you have to remember, you're in a foreign country, and that you're either going to be a victim of the legal system down there, perhaps, or if something happens to you, it's going to be difficult for you to come back and testify against somebody who's stolen, you know, your iPod out of your hotel room.
Yeah, well, what about your travel docs? Where do you hide that in your bathing suit?
Well, you know, basically put them in a safe in the room, and I always carry Xeroxes of everything.
Yeah, yeah. But see, I imagine a young lady, 17 or so, in a bikini walking around on the beach, does not have photocopies of her passport or whatever other document they require in Mexico stashed away.
That's what mom and dad are for. Mom and dad, you know. Are
you're supposed to go with?
No. They're just to make sure that kind of stuff happens and that they're going to a safe spot. One of the things that's happening sometimes in Mexico is a lot of the resorts, old resorts like Acapulco, have fallen on hard times because of crime. And you'll get an unscrupulous travel agent who will say, why spend all this money to go down to Cancun when I can get you know, a place for a third of that in Acapulco?
Yeah.
And if they don't know what Acapulco means today, maybe they think of, oh, the old days or something like that.
But you
know,
now you're a third more likely to get stabbed or robbed.
Right. You know, so you know, even if you go to Cancun or to Cabo, which are basically gringovilles, you got to remember that when push comes to shove, and sometimes that literally is what happens on spring break, you're in a foreign country, and just remember that.
Yeah. You know what? You talked about the things moving from Miami to Daytona to Panama Beach and all that. I imagine that various communities, they go through kind of a crackdown phase, and then they pull back a little bit. But I also wonder if a lot of the cities, they just kind of turn a blind eye to the debauchery because it's good for the local economy, all the money that these kids spend.
Well, sometimes that's the case. You got it exactly right on the head there, Phil, in that these communities go back and forth. They like having the kids come in, and they like the money, and basically the residents just know to go out of town, maybe rent their place and make some money during that period. But then there'll be something where it'll go over the top. There'll be a crackdown. But then maybe a year or so later, they'll be coming back and saying, there was an awful lot of tax money that was coming in during those 2 weeks, and they try to get back in the game. And that's happened with a bunch of the Florida towns. Certainly Fort Lauderdale was that way.
How about off of Texas, South Padre Island? That's
South
a pretty
Padre
happening
Island.
Place, right?
You know, one of the weird things about spring break is that it's sort of regionalized. You have these places out on the East Coast, Florida, and then down in the Bahamas, Nassau, Bahamas, another big place. Then sort of the middle part of the country, they either go to Florida or they go down to South Padre Island, which is on the Gulf Coast, and that's a giant party during spring break. And remember, spring break, some of the schools are getting out next week, and spring break, the last schools get out in May. So there's a pretty good window there for a party. South Padre Island is for the folks down in the south, and then out here on the West Coast, it's sort of interesting. Las Vegas is basically the place that everybody goes to if they don't have a lot of dough. The problem there is that unlike these beach places, there's no central place where everybody gets together.
But they've got some of those crazy, sexy swimming pool parties at some of the hotels. Isn't that right?
But
do they want 17 and 16-year-olds running around back
there? You know, the topless pools, for the most part, first of all, the only way you get in free is if you're a really nice-looking woman of, probably 20 and over.
Yeah.
And then guys usually have to pay to get in there. And no, they're not going to let the younger ones in there. The younger ones are at the places like Hard Rock Hotel or some of the big, you know, one of the things that they do is they go to the biggest barn hotels that are out there, maybe the MGM Grand or something like that. Because that's going to give you the largest number of people, and you're just around the pool, and you have a great time.
And try to drop a couple of coins in a slot machine before you get caught. Is that what they do, too?
Yeah. Hopefully, not too much of that, because that can drive up your prices. As you know, that $99 vacation in Vegas has a tendency to go up to $599.
You talk about the West Coast. There was a time when parties in Tijuana were a big deal for high school kids in California. Is that still happening? Because you could run into a lot of trouble in Tijuana, too.
No. Here's what's happened with Tijuana, which is very interesting. If there is any sort of spring break thing, it's more down around Rosarita Beach and that area. But that area still is under some real scrutiny by the State Department, and Tijuana in particular still written up as a big crime area. What happened with Tijuana is when the party stopped coming, when the spring breakers stopped coming, they've sort of reinvented themselves as this adult, food-oriented, more cosmopolitan town. They've really, you think of Tijuana and you think of all sorts of debauchery and drunkenness and things like that.
Yeah.
But they've kind of changed their ways, and I don't think they're really looking for spring breakers in Tijuana. And Tijuana is not a good place for spring breakers to be.
Is it a great place still to get chiclets?
Chicle.
Yeah. While you're waiting in line to get back over at San Ysidro.
Yeah, exactly.
I try to go over to Ote Mesa when I can. But
Ote.
You know, the final spot, you know, one of my favorites, of course, is Hawaii. When you're in the West Coast and you're looking at how much it's going to cost to go to Cancun or how much it's going to cost to go to Florida, and then you compare some of the off-season rates for Hawaii, there's a pretty good scene in Waikiki and also in the Kihei area of Maui.
They don't see you coming and jack up the prices?
No, because it's off-season for the most part. Yeah, you know, it's all supply and demand, and they'll fill up. But the thing that all of these places have in common, the spring break places, is that, they have these high-end hotels, but they also have lots of hotels off the main strips that are cheap for these students where you can get four into a room. Yeah. So, you know, all those hotels off of Kuhio in Waikiki or the ones on Kihei rather than up in Kaanapali, the big barn type hotels.
Well, if I were to pick Cancun, Waikiki, that I think I'm going Hawaii in almost every case. If it's a dollar for dollar, yeah, the same kind of deal.
That's a posh college student, though, who can choose between Cancun and Hawaii.
Well, come on, they do it. It's like, Dad, give me the money, Dad. Come on.
And the other thing that you have in places like Cancun is you have organizations like studenttravel.com that will put together packages where if you get, 25 friends together and you buy a block of rooms, you all get 25% off.
Look, in this day and age, Brooke, just to expand on what I was saying, today's kids, there's peer pressure to drop $700 on a phone, right?
Yeah,
and imagine the peer pressure for spring break. Come on, everybody's going.
Right.
And they lay all that pressure on mom and dad.
Yeah, right. And mom, dad, everybody's going.
My favorite spring break ever was down to Key West.
Yeah.
It was so random and spontaneous, completely unplanned. We just ended up there. That's where I got my tat.
You got your tat?
That's what happens on spring break.
Yeah. Senior spring break, Key West.
Wow. Look at you. We're gonna have to take a look at that. Maybe take a picture and post it. All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Where are we headed next week?
Sure thing, Phil.
Any idea?
I don't have any idea. I'll let you know midweek. It's sort of an off-season time, sort of a little potpourri. I'm going to look around and come up with something surprising. So
yeah. All right.
Tell people to tune in. Find out.
All right. You got it. I'll do that. Thanks for the tip.
All right,
tip.
Phil.
All right, Gary Warner, our travel guy. There he is. Okay, up next, more information that you wouldn't have heard otherwise, including... You know those little robotic vacuum cleaners that they sell these days? I had no idea that they're going to try to kill you if you're not careful. And that story's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and I'm getting a slight correction that I think I should point out. Spring break, is it? It's college kids for the most part, is it not? Or is it high school kids as
high
well?
High school, too. We had senior, like a senior thing in high school from when I was there.
Yeah.
Like senior week or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think 30-year-olds with young spirits, you know, just looking for a vacation.
Why not?
Just wanting to hang out.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, who knew? We all know what those Roombas are, right? Those little robotic things that they cruise around your house and they vacuum things up and then
awesome.
They go back to their little Roomba cave and they deposit the dust and then they go back out and they chase your dog around the house, right? but who knew that these could be a danger to your life, Chris?
Yeah, this could be a sign of the times, Phil, or at least a sign of the future, because a South Korean woman has fallen victim to her robot vacuum. She was taking a nap on the floor when her free-roaming mobile vacuum mistook her hair for dust and sucked her hair all the way up to the manifold of the unit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sucked it all the way up to her scalp, you know, like slammed into her head because
it bogged
down.
Have enough?
Oh, my God.
Does it have enough torque to rip the hair right off of her head?
I guess. The thing's got a lot of power. This immediately woke her up. She couldn't escape the robot's clutches, so she found a phone and called the fire department, desperate for freedom. Four paramedics showed up to rescue her and she is safe. Everything's okay. They did have to cut off some of her hair.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, once that little unit got a hold of her, it would not let go.
Yeah,
that is something. I bet your sales are going to go up now.
What? It's interesting that you ask that. So since 2002, robot vacuum cleaners have exploded in popularities. Roombas have sold over 10 million units.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing better than having your house cleaned without having to do it yourself. And I'm not talking about
right.
a house.
Yeah, but I mean, how noisy are those things?
They're not that bad. You sort of get used to them.
Yeah. You have one?
No, but I would house sit and dog sit for somebody who does. And like two big dogs, lots of hair, that thing is going all the time.
How do the dogs kind of associate
They're totally
with that.
Used I mean, to it. They just sort of walk outside and let it do its thing. They're just like, they sort of roll their eyes like, oh, God.
Well, again. Those were big dogs.
Yeah, big dogs.
Yeah, I've got a small dog. I think it might be a different deal.
Like barky, yappy dog?
No, just, kind of skittish.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe if you get the Roomba when it's still a puppy. No big deal.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's okay. That means we got to get rid of our dog.
Start over.
Yeah. Fine.
Got to keep the floors clean. Sorry, Sparky.
Expendable. Well, you know what? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Brooke, and you can be beautiful at any age.
Yes.
Can't you?
I love this. I had no idea that there is a Miss New Jersey Senior America pageant. Women over the age of 60 can go and compete in these beauty pageants.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these women are completely natural, no Botox or, you know, breast enhancements or liposuction for them. They are competing for dignity, maturity, and the ever elusive inner beauty.
Aww.
And I just found out, and I don't know how I missed this, but this, of course, if there's New Jersey, there's also, you know, many, many other states doing the same thing. And there is a national Miss Senior America pageant.
How about that?
I love that. It's something for me to look forward to when I'm 60-something years old.
Yes.
I want to compete.
And
I thought it was too late for me, but it's not.
You know, and it could be sexy, too, depending on who you are
Heck
and what,
yeah.
what you like. And you know, accents can be sexy.
Uh-huh.
Right? Think about the sexiest accent in the world. What do you think it is?
Good eye, mate.
There was a survey done, and by a landslide, it was British. So you think about James Bond and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I could listen to Keira Knightley talk all day long.
That would be my choice.
Yeah.
Not Keira Knightley necessarily.
Right. And surprisingly, American came in second.
I don't get that.
Yeah. That's an accent, right?
What? No.
American.
Well, there's also like 15 different, 35 million different American accents, if you want to put it
true,
that
yeah. We were followed by Irish, and then Australian, and this is surprising. Fifth place was French.
That is surprising. To me, that's better than Irish or Australian, or American for that matter.
Right. Seems like it's fallen on
the
list.
I think maybe people project the attitude of Parisians upon the French accent and think,
I think
okay.
you're right.
Yeah. Oh, well, it is the
they have a PR problem.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. What is the language of love anyway, Chris?
The language of love is what I always heard it was French. Maybe it's Portuguese. I don't know.
Maybe it's just, that little move of the head and the eyebrows,
Yeah, come here, for me, it's the Dougie and the pelvic thrust when they're on the dance floor. I bust that out.
Yeah, that works.
All right, we're talking love.
Okay, stop your laughing. I'm going to take a U-turn on here because we said we were going to do this and we haven't done it yet, but we want to get a quick update on Bobby Christina Brown because, as you know, she's on life support and there's some word that maybe she'll be taken off of that. But what's the latest on that, Chris?
Well, there's been a lot of conflicting reports regarding Bobby Christina Brown, and the latest is that she will not be taken off of life support tomorrow. Now, tomorrow was a significant date because that's the third anniversary of Whitney Houston's death.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talks about taking her off life support on that day. The family says there is no truth to that rumor. Right now, she is still held in a medically induced coma at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. And for the last week, they've been holding prayer vigils for her and asking all of us and everyone to pray along with
them. But Bobby Brown has not been at those because he's been by his daughter's side.
He has. He's been bedside the whole time. She is what I think a lot of doctors would technically call brain dead. Very little brain activity. So it's a touchy place that she's in.
All right. And we've got some time. If you can roll through this quickly, Brooke, you've got the unusual things that actually strengthen our immunity.
I love this. Okay, so number one, placebos.
Oh, like sugar pills.
Yeah.
That we think are something else.
Yes, but the thing is, it has been shown that they will increase your immunity, even if you know and you've been told that you are taking a placebo. People don't care. They're like, oh, okay. But it's for some weird reason, it still seems to help.
Yeah.
Two, looking at pictures of sick people. I don't get this, but a study in 2010 found that our immune system gets stronger when you look at photos of other people coughing or sneezing.
Oh.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Petting a dog.
What does that do for you?
Well, it says it gives your immune system a boost, according to a study in 2004, and it doesn't even have to be a real dog. It could be a stuffed animal dog.
Now that's
just
sick.
Just petting the dog.
Yeah.
That is kind of
what are you doing?
Sad.
What are you doing with that stuffed dog, you grown person, you?
But it helps, apparently.
Yeah.
Keeping a journal, I think that's pretty obvious. You sort of get your feelings out. You're getting rid of that negativity or anything that you might be holding on to.
Do you need to wash it every other week?
Yeah. Good question. All that
I just stick mine in the microwave.
Do you? Okay, good.
And then this is interesting. Having a doctor who feels bad for you when you're sick apparently helps people get over their cold or flu a day faster because they feel the empathy from their doctor.
Oh, don't give me your empathy, doc. Heal me.
Apparently just him being there is
fix me.
Enough.
Will you please fix me? All right. Let's see. Is that it? I think I've got one more thing for you. We were talking about the older ladies in the beauty pageant.
Mm-hmm.
An 82-year-old woman in Georgia was busted a few weeks ago for shoplifting at a CVS. You want to know what she was shoplifting?
Yes.
A bottle of Sexiest Fantasies body spray.
Didn't see
the
that.
The spray says it's, quote, as addictive and seductive as the woman who wears it. And this woman, 82 years old, is facing felony larceny charges.
She should be commended. She still has some oomph left in her.
Right. Yeah.
Oomph. Love it. Oomph.
I don't think that's what she was looking for. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com or on Twitter at FAFShow. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, who happens to be right here in this here studio. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you.
And Nick Wright, our production assistant. Our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, we'll be back next time. For Brooke and for Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.